today, as I've been asked by the Singapore Cycle Templing Center to speak on Madeniga. So before starting my teaching on this, first I would like to say, generally, the great Lord Buddha was an ordinary human being as same as all of us. But then, countless years before, he developed bodhicitta, or we can say he developed bodhicitta due to Arya Manjushri at that time, and then accumulated the merit heap and wisdom heap for many, many eons, or for three countless eons in general, and then finally attained the Buddhahood, or the enlightened state. So Lord Buddha has examined all the methods and all the parts, or in other words, you can say all the parts that he has shown to us is examined by himself and experienced by himself, and then also he got very positive experience, experience that can really test on the temporary and ultimate happiness. So through the examination and through the practice and experiences, he attained the Buddhahood. And what he has experienced, or the realization that he has gained, the ultimate realization that he has gained, is shown to the followers, to lead the sentient beings or the followers from suffering and dissatisfaction to temporary and ultimate happiness. So according to the Sanskrit tradition or the Mahayana tradition, Lord Buddha has attained the Buddhahood countless eons before he appeared in this world as Bin Siddhartha. So now I would like to explain a little more on Prince Siddhartha and Buddha Shakyamuni. Prince Siddhartha was born in Lumbini, and he was born in the royal family, and when he was young, he has all these luxurious house and all these things. But later, when he grown up, he saw the sufferings of the beings and then thought there is no essence in living in such luxurious style. So he renounced his kingdom and then searched for spiritual path. And then he did meditation for 6 years with great hardship. But then later he realized just going through a very hardship practice will not help to gain the inner realization or ultimate realization. So then he changed his style of practice. He stopped this hardship and then had food, and then later he went under the Bodhi tree and meditate, and then tame all the demons and then attain the enlightened state. So as a Prince Siddhartha, what he realized is that living in a luxurious palace and living in a very hardship way without having any food or drink, both these are extremes. Just living in a luxurious palace or just living in a very hardship way without having food or drink, both are two extremes. So after attaining the Buddhahood for the eyes of the common people, according to the Mahayana tradition, as I said before, according to the Mahayana, he has already attained Buddhahood countless eons before he appeared in this world. But for the eyes of common people, he attained the Buddhahood in Bodh Gaya. So after he attained Buddhahood in Bodh Gaya, whatever conduct that he do, or whatever teaching that he gave on conduct or on the view, all are free from the two extremes. Normally, the two extremes, we call it the extreme of eternalism and the extreme of nihilism. So, whatever he does, whatever conduct that he does, or whatever teaching that he gave, all are madhyamika, all are free from these two extremes. So, madhyamika means the middle way, free from the two extremes. So, whatever he performed, all of them are madhyamika, free from the two extremes. So, generally speaking, madhyamika means not just the view. Madhyamika can also be applied on the conduct. So everything that he does or he teach is madhyamika, free from all the extremes. And after attaining the Buddhahood, when he attained the Buddhahood, right after that, he said, now he has performed Nectar-like teaching, or Nectar-like teaching, but no one can understand such profound meaning or teaching. So therefore, he won't give such teaching. And then the great holy gods, powerful holy gods, such as Brahma and Indra, they went to see Lord Buddha, Shakyamuni, and request to return the wheel of Dharma. Because they have requested to return the wheel of Dharma, and also at that time, Buddha saw there are five fortunate disciples in Deer Park, Sarnath, Varanasi. So all these conditions match together. And due to these conditions, then he went to Deer Park, Sarnath, Varanasi, and gave the first teaching or done the first wheel of Dharma as Lord Shakyamuni Buddha to five fortunate disciples. And he turned the first wheel of Dharma on the Four Noble Truths. So, as I said before, all the teachings are free from the two extremes. So, therefore, this teaching on the Four Noble Truths are also free from two extremes. So, this is also a Madhyamika. Because in the Four Noble Truths, Buddha has given the cause and effect of suffering and the cause and effect of ceasing the suffering. And these are also given in a way that is free from the two extremes, so therefore all of these are Madhyamika teaching. So, in a broader perspective, in a wider way, then we can say all are Madhyamika. All the teachings are on Madhyamika. All the khandhas of Buddha Shakyamuni are Madhyamika, because all of them are free from the two extremes. All of them are middle way, free from two extremes. But then, the most profound Madhyamika is the view, the Madhyamika view. And Lord Shakyamuni Buddha, when he turned the second wheel of Dharma in Rajgir, or in English we call it the Vulture Peak, there he gave the Prajna Paramita Sutra, and there he directly gave the profound teaching on the view, on the emptiness. So this is also Madhyamika. In general, all the teachings are Madhyamika, but the one he gave in the Vulture Peak is Madhyamika teaching of the view, profound view. Actually, after Lord Buddha gave innumerable precious and profound teachings to different kinds of followers, and later different followers, they have their own way of understanding the teaching or their own way of focusing on the teaching. Some focus on this teaching and some focus more on that teaching. So through these things, then later in India, they had four Buddhist schools known as the Vaibhashika school, Sautantrika school, Chittamatra school or the Mind Only school, and the Madhyamika school. So generally, all these four schools, they present themselves as a free from two extremes. So all of them have their own way of explaining how they are the Madhyamika, which is free from two extremes. And so there are different kinds of Madhyamika schools, but in reality, the Madhyamika school of the four schools of Buddhism in India, this Madhyamika school, when they see, then they can see that the other three schools, their way of explaining the Madhyamika is not the ultimate Madhyamika. So the Madhyamika school, their way of explaining is the ultimate Madhyamika. So they explain the path, or they explain in three parts: the base, the path, and the result. So according to the Madhyamika school, you say the Madhyamika of base, which is the non-duality of true truth, relative truth, and ultimate truth, and the Madhyamika of path means the non-duality of merit heap and wisdom heap, and the Madhyamika of result means the non-duality of two kayas. Two kayas refers to Dhammakaya and Rupakaya, I think. So all these base, path, and result are also Madhyamika. So according to the Madhyamika school, then they have their own way of explaining the Madhyamika of Saravaka path, Madhyamika of Pratyeka Buddha path, and Madhyamika of Bodhisattva path, or the Mahayana path. Bodhisattva path and Mahayana path can be explained in the same way, or can be the same meaning, or it is the same meaning, we can say. So according to the Madhyamika school, then they explained how the Saravaka path is free from two extremes, and how the Pratyeka Buddha path is free from two extremes. But the ultimate Madhyamika is the Madhyamika of Bodhisattva, or the Madhyamika of Paramitayana or Mahayana. So according to the Madhyamika school, when they explain the Mahayana, according to this tradition, then it says, whatever Buddha taught, all the Buddha's teachings can be combined into two truths, the relative truth and the ultimate truth. There's no other teachings that is given by Lord Shakyamuni Buddha which is not relative truth or ultimate truth or the absolute truth. So whatever teachings that has given by Lord Buddha is either relative truth on the relative truth or on the ultimate truth. So all the Buddha's teachings are actually on Madhyamika because all are free from the two extremes. And you can also say that Madhyamika has two kinds. The topic Madhyamika and the word Madhyamika. Maybe I'm not saying the right word or I'm not using the right word in English, but anyway, in Tibetan we call it Jojo Tengi Woma and Jojo Tsigi Woma. Maybe my English translation is not so accurate, but anyway, there are two. So the topic Madhyamika means the meaning of these words or these teachings, which is Madhyamika. And word Madhyamika means the teachings, the words that describe about the Madhyamika, that describes about this meaning of Madhyamika. So the word Madhyamika also has two kinds, the Buddha's words and the great master's words. So Buddha's words is like the Paramita Sutra and others. These are Buddha's words of Madhyamika. Now the great master's words of Madhyamika is like the great master Nagarjuna's Madhyamika text, and then the great Bodhisattva Aryadeva and Chandrakirti's texts on Madhyamika, and then other great masters' texts on Madhyamika. These words are called the great master's words of Madhyamika. Then all these words are describing about the meaning of Madhyamika. So this meaning is called the topic Madhyamika or the meaning Madhyamika, I think. Sorry, I'm not using the right word in English because my English is very limited. I'm sure that you will find a better translation on these terms through other great masters. So there are two kinds of Madhyamika, the topic and words. So actually I myself don't know the right words, so I'm just follow these words to explain. So the topic of Madhyamika, as I said before, there are general Madhyamika which comprise or which includes all the contact and view. But when we say mandika, sometimes it refers only to the view. And if it refers to the view, then also we are referring to the ultimate view. So when we say, sometimes when we say talking madhyamika, we are referring to the ultimate view, which is free from all the extremes, which is a state that is beyond words and that is beyond thoughts, beyond any description. So madhyamika is very precious and very profound. We can say, or in the teaching it says, without depending on the madhyamika or the middle way or the middle path, it is not possible to gain liberation from the whole samsara. Just as birds need two wings to fly and cross the ocean or cross the river, similarly, we as an ordinary human being, for following the Buddha's teaching, needs two wings of view and conduct of madhyamika to cross the ocean of samsara. So madhyamika is very important. Without the madhyamika, we cannot overcome, or we cannot gain the liberation from the whole samsara. So therefore, madhyamika is very important. And as I said before, whatever Buddha's teachings are, or whatever Buddha gave teachings, all these are either a teaching on relative truth or ultimate truth. So both these truths are also madhyamika, free from two extremes. First, the relative truth. In the relative truth, generally speaking, whatever we see, whatever phenomena that we see, or whatever we feel, whatever we hear, whatever we touch, all these are in the relative truth. And all these phenomena are not inherently existence. It is not inherently existence, because inherently existence, or true existence, or truly existent, means something that is there independently, without depending on cause and conditions, something that will never change its own nature, something that is permanent. But whatever we see, or whatever things that there are in this world, or all these phenomena, are not permanent, are not independent, are dependent, depending on their own cause and conditions. So, therefore, all these are like a magical show. So now, how we can say that these phenomena in the relative truth are free from two extremes? The answer is because they are there to see and feel, etc. They are there like a magical show or like a dream. So they are there. So therefore, because they are there, they are free from the extreme of nihilism. But at the same time, all these things are there, but they are there not as truly existent, not as inherently existent, not as independent or permanent. They are not there as a truly existent. Because of that, it is free from the extreme of eternalism. So in short, all these relative truths are there like a magical show, therefore they are not completely empty. So they are free from the extreme of nihilism, and all these things, all these phenomena of the relative truth are not inherently existent. Because of that, they are free from the extreme of eternalism. So, through this way, we can say that all the phenomena or all these relative truths are madhyamika, they are free from the extreme of eternalism and nihilism in such way. And then, now, if I talk on the ultimate truth, absolute truth, there's nothing. There's no extreme at all. So to establish this ultimate truth, there are many logical reasons to establish the ultimate view. So, actually, first I think it is important to know there are two self. So, the two self are known as Chögyadak and Kamsagyadak in Tibetan. And if I try to translate in my own limited English, then I would like to say the two existent self of phenomena and two existent self of individual person. So first, to negate this two existent self of phenomena, we need the logical reasons in Tibetan we call Tashi Genko Girigwa. I think in English it can say like negating the rising of four extreme logical reason to negate the rising of four extremes. I think. So first one is self-rising. If the things are rising by itself, then like then we can say there's no point of rising the crops or having the crops as a result, because it is self-rising. It means the cell is the seed, and if the seed is rising itself, then there's nothing new in the result. So result is already there at the time of cause. So there's no point of having the self rising, because result is already there at the time of self, at the time of cause, because it's a self rising. And also, if the seed is producing a seed, then it means the seed is already there at the time of cause. So therefore, if the same seed is produced as a result, then there's no point also, because seed is producing its own seed or same seed. So then cause and result are same. There's no different. And also, in the worldly life, they don't accept the self-rising, because in the worldly life, they see the seed is gone at the time of the result. At the time of the crops, there's no seed to see. Seed is already gone. After seed is, dismantled, or after seed is gone, then they can see the result, which is the crops. So the worldly people also, they will not believe the seed is producing the same seed. So arising from itself is negated. Such extreme of arising is negated through logical reasons and also through worldly reasons. And now the second esteem of arising is arising from others. If the cause and result are not same, are completely different identity, then any cause can produce any result, because all these cause and results are different. Because they are different, then we can say the right seed can produce other kinds of grains as a crop, because cause and result are different. So if that is possible, then from one cause it can grow anything. From rice it can grow fruit or vegetables or any other thing, because the cause and result are not the same. So because if it is rising from others, not from the same, then there's a fault of producing many different kinds which are not similar to the cause. But that is not the reality, and such thing is also not accepted by the worldly people also. And also, because there's no rising from itself or from others in a such a way, so therefore there's also no rising from both these two, self and others, and also rising from both will be the third extreme of rising, and fourth extreme of rising is the opposite of the third one. So through these logical reasons, we can establish that there's no true existence rising. And through such logical reasons, we can prove that there's no true existence self or phenomena. Now the second self, the true existence of true existence self of person or individual, to negate this, there are seven logical reasons that is presented in the Madhyamika Avatara by great Chandrakirti with the example of chariot. So I will not go through these in details, but through these reasons, it negates the second self, the self of true existence self of person or individual. So through these logical reasons, it negates both these self and establish the ultimate view. So when we negate these two self and when we realize these two selflessness, then we gain, and when we realize these two selflessness directly through our non-conceptual wisdom, profound wisdom, then that is the time that we gain liberation from the whole samsara, and also gradually we can attend the enlightenment state for the sake of all the sentient beings. And also I would like to say that the way the Paramitayana followers studying and contemplating and meditating on the view is more clearer and more elaborate and more complete. So the view, Madhyamika view, or the view that is presented in the Paramitayana or in the Mahayana is more clearer, more elaborate, and more complete. More clearer means, as it is said in the Prajnaparamita Sutra, that these five aggregates are emptiness. So it directly say that these five aggregates are devoid of true existence. These are emptiness. So it directly shows very clearly about the emptiness of these aggregates. So it's very clear, and also it's very elaborate in the Paramitayana, because as it is said in the Madhyamika Avatara text by Chandrakirti, that from the the subject point of view, then there are 20 kinds of emptiness, and one of them is called the emptiness of emptiness, which means if we think Madhyamika view is just empty, then it is not right. Then we are still falling down in the extreme of nihilism. So emptiness is also emptiness. So it's called emptiness of emptiness, which is one of the 20 emptiness that is mentioned. Actually, emptiness itself has no such classification, no such divisions. But from the subject point of view, it presented in this classification. So actual view is something that is beyond all thoughts, all words. We cannot think this is empty. If we think this is empty, then that is not the right view. So ultimate view, the right view, the right Madhyamika view, is free from all the clinging thoughts, or grasping thoughts. And also, as I said, it's clearer and more elevated. As this I've already explained. Now the third one is, it is complete, because in the Paramitayana, not only it negates the first extreme, it negates all the four extremes completely. So therefore it is complete. It is not just the it is not just negating the first extreme, it negates all the four extremes, so that becomes complete emptiness or a complete Madhyamika view. So in short, I would like to say Madhyamika view is very important. Without this, no matter how much you practice, it is not possible to attain liberation and enlightenment state. So what we need is, with the budding from the four attachments, then we can gain liberation and enlightenment state. The first three budding is from the contact side, and the fourth budding is from the view side. So these four lines together shows the Madhyamika of conduct and view. So with these two Madhyamika of conduct and view, we can gain liberation and enlightenment state. So with this, I will conclude my short talk on the teaching on Madhyamika. And at the end, I wish all of you can understand and practice and follow these views and conduct, and then gain realizations, temporary and ultimate realizations for the sake of all the sentient beings. And at the very end, we should dedicate all our merits to attain Buddhahood for the sake of all the sentient beings, and especially we should dedicate all our merits for our gurus, good health, long life, and turn the wheel of Dharma far and wide always. Thank you.